All right, here's our second part.
Yes, it has been a week for you, but the same day for us.
It's like been a minute for us.
Yes. Welcome back to part two of Dating Culture in Hong Kong. We have no check-ins because it is the same day. But we last left off on why Hong Kong dating culture is so conservative, and we ended on sex ed as a taboo topic. So this next part is very interesting. You've heard about it. We kind of call it, like, our podcast, like, in our hashtags, you'll see this term, Kong girls, Gong Lo. Mm-hmm. So Kong girls are a term related to, like, females in relationships. I feel like they don't have to be in a relationship, actually. Mm-mm. But a lot of times it's associated with women in relationships.
Yeah, so tell us about Kong girls. Who are the Kong girls?
Yes. So technically, we are both Kong girls because we're from Hong Kong and we're girls. But Kong girls actually is a negative stereotype portraying Hong Kong women as materialistic, worshipping money, narcissistic, being obsessed with foreign culture. Oh, this is new. I've never heard of the obsessed with foreign culture part, actually. And suffering from the so-called princess syndrome, which means girls or non-married women requesting others to treat her like a princess. I feel like this is a bit exaggerated because I think I know people who are Gong Lo who, okay, whatever, I'll get into that later. But the origin of Gong Lo comes from in 2005 when a discussion was sparked online. So in February of 2005, a Hong Kong girl who identified herself as Jenny complained about her boyfriend for not paying $63.8 for snacks.
Hong Kong dollars.
Hong Kong dollars, yes. So she complained about this on an online forum. 63 Hong Kong dollars is like $8. Yes, $8.
Yeah.
So this incident is the 63.8 incident. And after the post, a lot of internet users negatively commented and responded to Jenny's behavior, which led to an argumentative conflict between Jenny, her supporters, and attackers. So Gong Lo, this term, was then formed to represent Jenny. And this word does not, like, if you translate it directly, it means Hong Kong girl, but it actually is just used to describe women who are arrogant, proud, and shallow. And usually sometimes are too, like, proud to apologize, I feel like. And, like, mm-hmm. think that they're right about everything. So,
yeah.
The article, that basically what she posted online, I'll kind of, like, briefly read through it. Because I feel like it's important and it's kind of funny. So this is what Jenny wrote on the forum. She said, "I bought a few packs of snacks. He gave his opinion on what snacks to choose and what he wants to eat. They lined up to pay," because Shear said it was $63.8. So Jenny naturally folded her arms and waited for him to pay. However, he seemed to have no awareness and did not move at all. Then Jenny pretended to take out her wallet and hoped that he would be smart enough to pay. But he was still doing nothing, so Jenny had to pay herself. And although the boyfriend had paid for the meal and the movie tickets before they went to the supermarket, the snacks are... So although the boyfriend had already paid for the meal and the movie tickets before they went to the supermarket, Jenny thought that the boyfriend should pay also for the snacks because he was going to eat them and it was for the movie. Jenny just started dating this guy, like, recently, and then she said she had to reconsider if she wanted to be with him, which is funny, because I feel like, I guess Gong Lo stereotype is, like, expecting the guy to, like, materialistically satisfy them, and I actually see this a lot on Instagram. Like, I follow a lot of people I don't really talk to anymore on Instagram in Hong Kong, and the birthday presents, Christmas presents always involve big gestures, like 100 roses or like a like decorative cake or like...
Yeah, or like a decorated hotel room.
Yeah, like with balloons and then...
And like with roses on the bed with like a heart shape.
Mm-hmm. Or like a brand name bag or something like that. Like something that like is extravagant.
Mm-hmm.
And so people think that this is a phrase that only males use to, like, call females. But actually, females also use this phrase to call other females, Gong Lo. And females actually think that Gong Lo is giving Hong Kong females a bad reputation.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, this term is very... I think nowadays it's more so, like, jokey. Like, when I say it to my friends sometimes, I'm like, Gong Lo ya lei, or, like to, like, make fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like you don't have to have all of those traits, like, being narcissistic, materialistic, or... admiring Western culture to be described as Gong Lo. Like, just, I think whenever, at least with my friends, whenever we see, like, a girlfriend getting spoiled or, like, getting spoiled by their boyfriend, they're getting called Gong Lo.
Yeah. I'm curious to, if our listeners or our friends who are listening to this, like, what do you prefer when it comes, like, obviously straight, actually it doesn't even have to be straight couples, like whatever couple you're in, do you prefer your partner to be very like spoil you, or do you prefer them to, you know, like be on the same level? Do you know what I mean? Like, I wonder what people's preferences are and if Hong Kong like women genuinely want to be treated that way. I was telling Summer before this too that I had a conversation with some friends before. One of my friends had a new boyfriend, and she was saying, like, this is also no shade to her if she's listening. Like, it's just an observation I made that she loved that her friend, I mean, her new boyfriend treated her like a princess. Like, he would open doors for her, and he would, like, tie her shoes and hold her hand whenever she walked down the stairs when she's in heels and stuff. And we were talking about, she was saying, like, oh, who wouldn't want to have a boyfriend who treated her like a princess? And I'm like, me. Like, I feel like, I don't know if it's, like, because I'm not in a Hong Kong culture anymore, if that feels weird to me, or if that's just my personality. But I feel like Yeah.
Yeah. I think it is a preference thing. I mean, how do I say this? I think it's okay for a guy to, quote-unquote, spoil a girl, but not too overboard. Like, I think that with those kind of gesture, it should come from the guy's respect for the woman, not just because they want to spoil them or they feel like they need to worship their girlfriend,
right?
But out of respect.
I think sometimes the societal norm places a lot of that kind of pressure on males to be a good boyfriend, quote unquote, in Hong Kong culture, because I think collectively sometimes girls expect that, or collectively guys feel like they need to be that. And that mindset of girls wanting to be treated well and guys thinking that they have to treat girls a certain way has become the norm of like heterosexual relationships in Hong Kong. And I don't know, I'm just like, if someone treated me like that, I would feel very weird about it. Like,
Yeah, I would too. I would feel very overwhelmed. Like, personally, I would prefer the relationship to be equal and not one higher than the other. But I feel like occasionally during like surprises and spoiling each other is fine.
Yeah, I agree. I just think that there shouldn't be unhealthy expectations associated with those surprises either. And that's like a huge trait for Gong Lo, right? Like, they expect certain things, I feel like.
Yeah. I think the guy shouldn't, like, feel pressure to do those things. Like, if the guy feel, like, pressure to do it, then it's not genuine. It should come from, like, because he truly cares about his girlfriend, or truly respect his girlfriend, and understand, like, when you said about, well, when you told me about, like, oh, holding her hands when she's walking down the stairs, I was like, oh, that's a little too much. But if she was in heels, then I would understand why it is a little bit of a struggle.
Or if he genuinely...
like, tying shoelaces, but that is too much. But I don't know what's under what circumstances.
Exactly. Or, like, if he genuinely wanted to help her tie her shoelaces, like, that's cool.
Yeah.
But I think, yeah, like, pressure... I feel like pressure always becomes resentment. And I feel like, in the long run, that's just, like, not sustainable.
snap to that.
Anyways, gonglers is a very interesting phenomenon. Like, in Hong Kong, and I wonder if it's the same in other East Asian countries. And if they have, like, their own term for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If our audiences know.
Yeah, let us know.
In your culture, please let us know.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. So another very interesting phenomenon is, on the flip side, we also have gongna, which is Kong guy.
Yeah.
And that term emerged in 2013 October. So one Hong Kong girl, she's technically a Kong girl, slap her boyfriend publicly in the street. And I still remember seeing that video. Me too. On the news.
It was viral. Like,
it's still vividly in my mind. Anyways, so the man kneeled on the ground, apologized, and hoped for a forgiveness from his girlfriend publicly on the street. That video later was uploaded online to many of the online platforms and become widespread. On one hand, people criticized the girl acting exactly like a gongler. However, on the other hand, people also blamed the man for being coward and losing males' faces, which refers to the characteristics of a gongna.
This is so interesting.
What do you think about that?
Yeah, this is so interesting because, like, gongna means someone who is being coward and who is, like, a simp for the female, basically. Like, for, like, fulfilling all of the woman's unrealistic wishes. I don't know what the context of their argument was, but the fact that gongna characteristics is, like, quote unquote, like, I feel like not being a coward and losing male's faces is very associated with, like, not being masculine and not, like, being, like, assertive, dominant male, right?
Yeah,
like, it's very associative with the masculine traits or the lack of masculine traits in a male.
Yeah,
and the gong lam is a negative term, like a negative stereotype to a sort of male simping for their girl. So, like, I feel like that reflects what a collective society Hong Kong thinks, like, straight men should be. Like, they shouldn't be whipped.
Like, quote-unquote, the norm should be. Because they are placing people who, let's say, like, female, they expect them to be, like, obedient, docile, and submissive. But gongloi is a term to describe a person who is almost opposite of that, and in the extreme case of that.
Mm-hmm.
And in that sense, they are being labeled as bad. And on the flip side, for guy, if they're not masculine, and like you said, they're lacking masculine traits, then they're being called gongnam. And I feel like because they are not, like, within the range of the quote-unquote norm of what a straight women and straight men should be, they are being marginalized and categorized at these, like, abnormal people, like gongle and gongla.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but they're both, that's so true, actually. And I honestly, like, especially since I was in Hong Kong recently, I always see, like, gonglos and gonglams. Like, it's so rare for me to see a man, like, being unreasonable or, like, being mad, the one who's mad, and then the girl being the one who's apologizing. Like, I always see the girl who's mad and the guy who's the one's, like, simping and apologizing. And I remember I was at this restaurant. This couple came in, and the girl was crying. I think she was really mad, and she was crying. And the guy, I think, was trying to comfort her and stuff, but she would be, like, very rude to him and have very short sentences towards the guy, and then she just stopped talking to the guy. And then what made it more awkward is that the girl's, like, mom and grandma came in and sat down with them, but they were still fighting. They still weren't talking to each other at all. And I remember seeing that, and I was like, it's just so common. Like, it's so common here in Hong Kong,
mm-hmm.
To see, like, gonglo gonglam pairings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess opposite attract.
Maybe gongla, I don't know. I feel like gonglo, like, obviously you shouldn't slap your partner, but I feel like maybe the underlying reason of why they were mad sometimes is, like, justifiable.
I wonder what happened. Like,
yeah, me too.
I don't remember what actually happened.
Let me see if we can look it up. I'm pretty sure it is still on the internet. Oh, she was arrested. Police arrest girl filmed slapping boyfriend. Oh my god. She's like grabbing his hair and like
slapping.
That's crazy. So what is the reason? Oh, who had allegedly cheated on her?
But still.
She accused him of bringing a woman home. The man cried and appeared emotional as he denied it. Yeah, still, don't slap them in public. I think Hong Kong women sometimes are very petty. Like, they can be.
Yeah.
Granted that they were wronged, though. Like, he...
Where do you think that culture come from?
Like, the pettiness?
Yeah, the pettiness and also, like...
Ho Siu Hei. Like, short-tempered?
Emergence of, like, Gong Le and Gong Nam. Because it's so different from, like, the traditional... quote unquote, like normal standard of men and women.
I think sometimes women can get stereotyped as being like feisty and like Karens, you know, like, oh my god, I saw two Karens fighting like in my apartment, like near my apartment. Anyways, I don't know where it comes from.
Do you think it comes from like the need to, to fight against those gender norms. There's a new generation wanting to break out of those gender norms of like women being submissive and the man being dominant. I feel like there's also this shift in media that, you know, we're seeing more submissive men or like more, how is it, not like submissive, but less dominant men in media. Like, we talk about, like, in K-dramas, like, all of the guys are very, they can look more feminine and also more caring and, like, considerate, very, what is saisam, is that considered?
Yeah, like, very...
detailed oriented.
Yeah, like it, they, yeah, detail.
They look at the little things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think, I don't know, because I feel like if they were trying to break through stereotypes, this stereotype is still a bad, like, this stereotype of Gong Lam and Gong Lai are so derogatory. Like, they're so associated negatively. So I don't think it's something that they can control. Like, I don't think they're, like, trying to, maybe like inherently they are, you know, breaking those gender roles, but I don't think anyone wants to like intentionally become a gongler.
That's actually interesting. Then do you think that maybe like this culture, like this trend has actually always been there, but it's just been more like recognizable or talked about in recent years? And people started to label these groups of people.
Yeah, I do think so. Because
when you don't have a label for it, like, it doesn't, it's type of, like, you don't feel like it doesn't exist. But then once you start having, like, a label for it, it becomes more visible.
Yeah, I don't think, I do think that it probably always existed.
Yeah, there's always dominant women and more submissive men.
Oh my society. Gosh, like, even in Turning Red, like, the mom is, the dad is, like, whipped.
Yeah.
That's true. I wonder why that is, though. Like, I wonder what about it makes, like, you know how people are like, oh, the wife is always right? Or, like terms to describe, like, oh, you better not, like, wrong your wife or else, you know? Like, they are always right, that kind of saying. Like, I wonder how this dynamic came about. Like, yeah, it's always there, but how did it, like, why is there this like dynamic between, so I think it's different between married couples versus like dating couples. I feel like married couples, it's like, I don't want to say like not unhealthy, I don't know, but I feel like within married couples, like, that's just a saying that people say, you know, like, your wife is always right. But with dating couples, I don't know.
If the audience have any opinion on this,
yeah, let us know.
Please let us know. Yeah. That might be very curious.
Yeah, this dynamic. Like, what are the reasons? It's very
common.
Yeah. It's, I think it's also like men don't try to argue. Do you think it's a person, like an inherent personality thing, maybe? Like,
yeah.
I feel like I can see in myself too. Sometimes I'm more like specific about things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I get sad on like more minor things. Granted, it's like something dumb. Like, if you don't, like, if I'm like, food's ready and he doesn't come out in 5 minutes, I'm like, I'm hungry. But I'm just hangry though. But like stuff like that, you know, like vice versa, like flipped, like they probably wouldn't have the same reaction.
Yeah.
So I wonder if it's because
they don't care, like, as much, I feel.
Yeah. Like on a very heterosexual level, is it because men are more chill? Like, I'm just like, or like they have more like non-calculating, but specific. Like they're more just like whatever, you know?
Yeah. Go with the flow, whatever. Don't really want to like put in the effort to get into arguments.
Yeah.
But that's just some people though. I feel like it's still like not.
It's not like comprehensive of. It's not a comprehensive reasoning.
Yeah. I think like it does represent like this dynamic does represent like it's common.
Mm-hmm.
But not everyone is like that.
Yeah. Because
my dad is like not like that. My dad is pretty emotional. Not like emotional as in like sad emotion, but like he gets angry about things.
Mm. Like small things.
He gets like really, really like gets a bad temper sometimes.
Mm. Very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so other than gonglo and gonglam, we also have other terms to describe men and women, and this is specifically for older men and women, and this term is called 剩女, 剩女, or you can translate them to, this sounds really bad, leftover women or leftover ladies.
It literally translates to that.
Yeah, it's a derogatory term popularized by the All China Women's Federation. That's interesting. That sounds like a like woman empowerment.
Yeah, it sounds like a feminist thing.
Such a bad term. Yeah. Okay, anyways, so this term classifies women who remain unmarried in their late 20s and beyond. The term compares a married woman to leftover food and has gone on to become widely used in the mainstream media and has been the subject of several TV series, magazine, and newspaper articles and book publication, focusing on the negative connotations and positive reclamation of the term. I think this term is very interesting because not only do they classify women who are unmarried, I think those women are always stereotyped as women who are very successful, and because they focus a lot more on their career and they didn't have time to, you know, really focus on developing their romantic relationship, and that's why they remained unmarried in the late 20s and beyond, which is like, honestly though, like late 20s to like early 30s,
that's even
like
young.
Later in the 30s, like that's still pretty young.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's like, it's interesting because I feel like this term is so derogatory when it's especially if it's associated with successful women, right? I think it's very common for more traditional thought process to think, I don't know. I think it really depends on preference, right? Like, what if they don't want to have kids? They don't want to, like, be in a relationship. And it's very, very traditional norm that people assume that every female wants to, you know, get married, like, have kids, have a family. And it's interesting because actually my dad was telling me about, you know, some friends that he knows who have very successful careers, like, who become lawyers or, like, famous, like, not famous, sorry, like, high level like CEOs and stuff, but they don't have a family. And he was saying that, is it worth it to, you know, sacrifice your family, like finding a partner for your career? But I'm like, what if they don't want a partner? Or what if they don't want a family? Like, I know people who don't want to have kids.
Like me.
So I feel like the way that like the older generation talks about it sometimes is very like, the norm is that you have to get married, you have to have a family,
yeah,
and that should be the priority.
And I think that the expectation of women needing to marry in earlier or younger, like in the before late 20s, come from the fact that a lot of Chinese family expect them to have kids.
Yeah.
Because as we all know, like, as we get older, it is riskier to have kids.
Yeah, we talk about that a little bit later too, with like pregnancy and like men, pressure on men when it comes to like getting married and stuff. But
yeah, but before we dive into that, another very interesting term, which is an equivalent term for men, is guangguan, meaning bare branches. And this term is used to refer to men who do not marry and thus do not add branches to the family tree. Oh, I actually didn't know that. I thought guangguan only just mean that, like, it's just one. You just one stick, one branch, and like you're single.
Maybe it's both.
Oh, I didn't know that. Interesting. And similarly, we also have the term senglam, shennan, or leftover men, has also been used. But scholars have noted that this term is not as commonly used as leftover women in Chinese society, and that single males reaching a certain age will often be labeled as either golden bachelors or diamond single men, which I find so uncomfortable hearing that, because these men, the reason why they're labeled as golden bachelors or diamond single men is because they are probably financially independent and successful and have a good career. In that case, men are described as like gold and diamond, but for women, they're being described as leftovers, which is totally unfair.
Leftover food.
What do you think about that? Yeah.
I feel like females should also be labeled as golden bachelors and diamond single woman. Like, it's just a very sexist notion. It's like double standards. I do think men feel the pressure to like get married too. But I feel like women often get questioned more. Like, if you see them single and if you see them not married. I do think men get questioned also, but women definitely get questioned more, especially with the way we describe single men versus single woman. I mean, it just shows that society as a whole think that it's more normal for men to be single. It's a good thing for men to be single. But when women are successful and they have a good career and they're not married, then that's a problem. Like, women are so much more – people focus so much more on women to start a family. And they're like, your time's approaching, like, biologically, right? Like, they're like, if you don't get married now, like, you won't have kids. Or, like, when they get older. I feel like this is the same thing about what we talked about in our beauty pageant episode, where when men get older, they get more attractive. But then when women get older, they're seen as, like, you're losing your beauty. So that's also probably why that, like, people put more pressure on women to find someone when they're younger, because their beauty is fleeting. But for men, when they get older, they're still like golden bachelors because they get more attractive as they age, like, as a whole. Or more commonly they do.
And we need to remember that those beauty standards are instilled in us by stereotypes, you know. Its beauty standard is so fluid and like it's so subjective.
Yeah, people just forget sometimes that marriage isn't a route for everyone. People don't want to be in relationships, you know.
Yes,
and also something that I've noticed actually within a lot of couples, which you kind of talked about with like my sighting of this couple arguing, is that fights are very normalized and arguments are very common in relationships, especially in the gongler gonglap dynamic. I feel like too, fights are very frequent, and within the gonglap gongler dynamic, the conflicts usually start with a contradiction of generosity and narrow mind, material, and body. That's a weird wording. But basically, it's like about how much, you know, like they're willing to spend on you, I guess, is how the conflicts usually start. I think this is in terms of Gonglam Gonglui, but I think in general, that's not the case. But mm-hmm. Gonglui believe men should appropriately do better work and be more generous on the aspect of money, while Gonglam criticize women in Hong Kong who overrank themselves. Like, I think the Gonglam think that women are expecting too much from them. But I think in a more general, like, realm, like, not within Gonglam Gonglui, I think people do still fight a lot, because I think their initial reaction is, I don't know if it's because, like, they genuinely think it's worth fighting about, or because the norm is to fight. Like, the norm to mm-hmm. solve problems is to argue about it.
What do you think?
I think it's both, maybe. Like, sometimes, like, when my friends tell me some things that they argue over, I'm just kind of like, but you could solve that with a normal conversation. Like, you don't need to argue. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes, maybe in the moment that they're very heated, they want to get their emotions out. It's very interesting because me and my boyfriend, we don't really argue. Like, we've never, like, maybe once or twice, and it wasn't even bad. Like, I feel like Hong Kong couples always shout at each other, and it, like, gets really out of hand and, like, unsolved by the end of the day. So sometimes over very minor things.
Yeah.
But I don't...
I think,
Yeah.
I actually feel like that stems from the lack of knowledge and education and conversation about how to have a healthy relationship. I feel like people don't really understand how to have a healthy fight, because I think having fights and arguments are very common in relationships.
Yes.
And it can also be a good thing, but it's about how you handle those disagreements. That would be like a learning experience, a lesson for the both parties. But I feel like because we don't get taught by our parents about how to have a good relationship, I don't really know of, like, any resources out there in Hong Kong that teach me how to have a healthy relationship. And therapy is not very normalized mm-hmm. in Hong Kong. And people just don't really know the way of how to have a healthy relationship other than going with their intuition. Or, like, just mirroring how other couples are doing.
Yeah.
How they deal with their conflicts.
Yeah. Do you think it's the lack of communication we see in a lot of Chinese families? Like, you know how in our Turning Red episode we were talking about how so much things could be solved if Mimi and her mom or the mom and the grandma just talked? Do you feel like that, the lack of learning that growing up from our parents has translated into relationships, like the lack of community, the lack of not jumping to conclusions, or the lack of not guessing? Like, or I wonder if the toxic notions of dating, like from last, like the first part of this episode that we talked about, the toxic notions, do you think that bleeds into like grown-up relationships as well?
I think so. Like, we bring in a lot of the patterns of how our parents communicate into our own relationship. And I think that if we don't recognize them as unhealthy or toxic, then we don't think it is a problem. We just think that it is normal.
Yeah. I actually was looking into why couples fight so much. And some of these are guesses, but I actually asked my friend. So she gave us some feedback. So the first reason is because sometimes, not just females, maybe also males, they have very high standards and expectations, like when it comes to materialistic things. I wouldn't say just mm-hmm. Gonglui has this. Like, I think a lot of people in Hong Kong see other couples, you know, doing these like extravagant dinners and these extravagant gifts, that they think that's the norm and they expect their partner to do the same. But they don't necessarily have to be Gonglui for that, I don't think. But just very high expectations, I think, when it comes to relationships in general as a collective. Stress in Hong Kong is real, especially if you're working. I think the corporate world in Hong Kong is something else. Like, my friends who are in accounting firms, they have to overtime till like midnight. And I'm like, what? Like, that's the norm? And they just have a lot of stress from work. which causes like fights more, I guess. Like they get mm-hmm. triggered more easily. And this is what my friend said, actually. She said sometimes she wants to argue and fight back because she doesn't want to feel lesser than him. Like she I think also it's like a personality thing. Like they don't want to, they want to be right. Like they want to show them, I don't know, they want to fight till the end, you know? Like they want to win, but not in a bad way.
Until one party.
Yeah. They want to take back the power mm-hmm. of being a woman. And also my friend was saying that part of it is also peer pressure. And also on social media, like, you see people talking about, you know, how they dealt with this situation. And then you think, like, oh, I should deal with that situation that way, too. So I think it's just, like, collectively feeding into each other.
Mm-hmm.
Like, these negative cycles of fighting within Hong Kong couples. It's, like, it starts off with you seeing other people fighting like that, so you're like that, but then your fighting gets reaffirmed when you see other people doing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see how that can become a norm in the Hong Kong dating scene.
Yeah, but I do think that there are exceptions, obviously. Like, there are obviously very healthy relationships as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, like, some people, like, they're able to learn from their experience. And I think that a healthy relationship, ultimately, it stems from, one, the fact that you really like each other and you care about each other, and then you have respect for each other in the relationship. And coming from those points, that's how you can have healthy arguments and make compromises in a relationship. Because I do see, like, some of my friends are able to do that, you know, to break that toxic cycle.
Yeah. I think another trait of Hong Kong people sometimes is our skin is very thick. Like, we want face, like, all the ho hao mean pay, all the ho you mean. Like, we don't want to back down. We don't want to admit that we're wrong.
Yeah.
And that translates into the relationship. Like, when two mm-hmm. people are like that, like, obviously fights are going to happen mm-hmm. if there's no compromise.
Mm-hmm. yeah so we can go back to, like, another I think another factor that drives the toxic dating culture in Hong Kong is because both men and women, they have the pressure to get married. In the collectivist cultures, it prompts young adults to regard love and romantic relationships within a larger context of their familial and social obligations. For men, we talked about filial piety in the past episode, but basically, in terms of relationships, marriage is absolutely necessary, and particularly for males. And for some, xiao, filial piety, makes finding a spouse a priority, and consequently makes dating takes on a different quality. So what do you think about the fact that marriages are becoming an obligation / transaction?
I think it was more common in the past, right? Like, when, like, royalty, in the royalty days, like, I feel like marriage was more of a transaction and more of an obligation, because, like, royalty wants to carry on a family line. They have to choose someone that is, like, of the same status. It's kind of like in Bridgerton. Like, did you watch Bridgerton?
Yeah, I watched a few episodes
of
the new season.
It's so good. But the actor for Antony is gay. Sad.
Oh, what?
The actor for Antony...
Oh,
he's really? Gay. Yeah, he's gay in real life. But anyways, it's kind of like Bridgerton, where, like, it's wait, did you finish the season yet? Oh, okay, never mind. I won't say this then. Maybe when you finish, I'll say it in regards to this context.
Okay.
But it's sad. I think nowadays there's less marriages that are seen as an obligation, but I think men have the pressure of, like, passing down their family name. I think the last name and passing down their family lineage is so important in Asian mm-hmm. culture and in Chinese culture, which is also, like, such a big, a whole other topic I think we should talk about, actually, of why, like, so many female babies were, like, given up when we had the one-child policy in China. And when, like, even when people would have, you know, a female baby, they would try again for a male baby and then, like, give up the female baby, because that's how important, like, carrying the family line was mm-hmm. back in the day. And I think it's still translates to now. So I think, yeah, men do have a lot of pressure in terms of that. But I think it's sad, like, when you're marrying just to do so.
Yeah. And it goes back to the idea of also guangguan, the single branches, right? Because in Chinese family, we think of, like, a family as a tree, and the tree should have so many branches, and each branch should branch out to even more branches. So then, I guess, the legacy of your family can continue. It can keep growing bigger and bigger, and that obligation falls on the men to keep growing those branches.
Also, you're not just getting married. Like, I feel like when you choose a partner and when you get married and you start your own family within a big Chinese family, your business becomes everyone's business. I feel like it's also, like, it shouldn't be a flex thing, but it is a flex thing. Like, oh, you're the first one to give, you know, you're the first one to have a boy grandchild. Like, that's a flex thing, I feel like. A lot of parallels to Bridgerton.
Okay, I need to finish it.
Yeah, it's so good. But also, like, I feel like beneath the surface, sometimes there is, like, there's some, like, comparison between, you know, like, partners, spouses, or, like, having kids, like, gender of kids. Like, sometimes those kinds of thoughts would pop into your head when it shouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
Because part of, not part of, but inevitably, your relationship and the children that you have becomes a family, you know, business.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it becomes bigger than you. Mm-hmm. In a lot of Chinese yeah. families.
Yeah.
So even, like, the marriage itself is a transaction. Like, the marriage itself is a transaction. But beyond your marriage, like, that's also, like, things that you will get judged or compared or talked about within your family. Like, it's just so, it's so collective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, like, your marriage basically needs to take on the pressure from the family.
Mm-hmm.
And obligations you need to fulfill, not only for that relationship, but also for the entire family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also, like, there's a lot of, with the with filial piety, obviously there's a lot of family expectations. We're talking about, you know, marriage as a transaction obligation, but in Chinese culture, basically, when you date, that basically the norm is that you will get married. And I think that's something that our generation is kind of pushing past that. Like, there's so many.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even in Hong Kong, like, Hong Kong doesn't recognize gay marriage yet, I don't think.
No.
And so there's a lot of couples who are very strong, like, a lot of gay couples who are very strong couples, but they just can't get married, and that doesn't make their relationship mm-hmm. any less.
Mm-hmm.
And I think marriage as a label sometimes shows the parents and shows the world that, like, oh, we're committed to each other, like, we want to be together forever. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that should be the norm and the way to tell, like, if you're a strong couple. There's couples mm-hmm. who date for years and they don't get married. Like, and I think our mm-hmm. generation is doing that. There's a lot of, like, gay couples who can't get married. A lot of people who choose not to get married. A lot of people who are in a partnership. A lot of people who, like, don't want to have kids. So I do think our generation is breaking this mold. I wish to know about the specifics in Hong Kong, though, mm-hmm. When it comes to heterosexual relationships, like, if that is what people are thinking about, or if they still, mm-hmm. like, think that marriage is the end goal.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, sometimes it can be unhealthy, like, the institution of marriage. It's like, it blurs, I think the institution of marriage blurs the line between obligation and, like, love sometimes. I don't know. Like, it's forced mm-hmm. upon you that, like, marriage is the end-all be-all, like, label, right? But it's not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, like, marriage shouldn't be an institutionalized business.
Mm-mm.
I think it's very personal and it should only involve like the two people. Like, what do they want?
It's become,
I think, in the ideal world.
Yeah, it's become so commercialized too.
Mm-hmm.
With like money, obviously, that comes into a wedding, mm-hmm. and like it being a thing to brag about for families. Like, it's become, yeah. so like involves so many things and so many people.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and also with the conservative dating norms surrounding marriage in Hong Kong, there's a taboo topic, I think, and a very shameful and unwanted, in quotes, because it's not, but like the norm is that this is like something that you should, mm-hmm. be ashamed of, and it's like the worst case scenario that a parent could, you know, imagine is of unplanned pregnancies. Like, people get shunned for getting pregnant before marriage because I guess it reflects them as not being like clean, like, what's the word, like pure, I don't know, like, mm-hmm. it's a bad, like, people, yeah. immediately judge and like have a bad image even if they themselves are having sex before, you know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
people see it as a disgrace to the family that it looks bad. And those who actually get pregnant, like, by accident, usually get married, like, right away once they find out, so that they can be married before the child is born, kind of thing. And I really want to, like, understand why parents want to do this. Like, is it for, like, financial reasons? Is it for, like, tax reasons? Like, is it for, like...
I think it's a commitment and also all of those things that we talk about, because you want that person to be financially committed and like be able to delegate all the tasks
of fatherhood, having motherhood. A child,
fatherhood and motherhood.
Yeah, and I think a big part of it is like to look good too, you know? Like, if you have a grandchild and your daughter is married, like, that looks better.
Mm-hmm.
to the public, and yeah. I think that's a huge thing too,
mm-hmm.
and I personally, I'm very like undecided on my opinion on like, does the label of marriage really mean that much? Because on one hand, no, like, it doesn't, because there's so many couples that choose not to get married and are so strong. But on the other hand, I do, because I feel like it is a sign of commitment, you know what I mean? I'm ingrained to like think like that, but also like, you don't need it. You don't need that label.
Yeah. I think it can be a personal preference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. But I think part of it is definitely growing up in this culture.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I wonder...
But it's not a bad thing that you want that label, right? Because you, it's not just about, like, this label being imposed on you, but maybe you want to use this label to show your partner that, okay, I'm committed to you. Maybe that's like one of your way to show your commitment on top of all your love and actions.
Right. It's the intention behind like why, mm-hmm. you want to have, yeah. this label.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, it's like what makes you happy, but not feeling forced to put a label on it just because, yeah. you feel that will like make you feel more secure or make you feel like you're committed to that relationship.
Exactly. I feel like people who grew up in the same culture kind of mindset that we did, it's hard when it comes to relationships sometimes, because I think sometimes people rush to get married when they find the right person, mm-hmm. because you're so ingrained in that culture. But I do think it is important to like as you said, think about why.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's easy to just be like, oh, I already know, like, might as well do it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, anyways. Yeah. There's unplanned pregnancies are very looked down upon. And especially, mm-hmm. like, even now, like, people from my high school are getting pregnant and married immediately. And there's still a topic of gossip, like, within people, mm-hmm. I still talk to. So it's still very much.
That's actually really interesting, though, because it feels like if you're getting married too early, that is still a taboo
thing. That is, yeah, you're right, that is. Granted, we
like
see,
if you're getting married before like, I don't know, like 26 25, then people would talk about it.
Granted, that so many people are doing that in the West, like, I feel like there's a lot more people getting married like early now in our generation, but mm-hmm. yeah, in Hong Kong definitely. I think in Hong Kong, when people get engaged so early or get married so young, people immediately assume that they're pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
Because why else would they get married so young, you know what I mean? I think that's, mm-hmm. like, people's mindset. when it comes to. Yeah.
I think that also comes from the fact that, like, people's expectation of a marriage. I think in Hong Kong specifically, people think that they need to, like, have a house or be able to afford a house before they can get married.
Yeah, that's true.
And when you're that young, obviously, you probably don't have that financial.
But that's also, like, the norm of, like, your parents won't let you live with your partner unless you're married.
Yeah.
So it's like, even if they could afford it, they can't.
Yeah.
Well, that is it for this episode, or the second part of this episode.
Yeah. I hope you all learned something.
Yes. And, oh, we also said this in our first episode, but, or first part, but I'll just reiterate that we do want to touch upon more, like, LGBTQ plus couples and, like, community in Hong Kong, but this these two episodes, I guess, are just mainly focused on the heterosexual relationships. Mm-hmm. But yeah, let us know if you guys have any thoughts to our discussions today. We've been recording for 2 hours and my throat is dry.
Me too. See y'all next week.
See y'all next week. Next week.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.